You know, I cried a lot at the funeral.
Yes, I don't know. You were sitting behind me, so.
But you were looking at behind the whole time. And I was crying and feeling it's very inappropriate for me to cry there. And I couldn't stop. And I was doing my best to hold it until the point I gave up. But still, it felt like I shouldn't be the one to cry that much.
I had the same, because at some point when Kobe was speeching and I started crying, and Marleen was at that point, my mother-in-law, not crying. And then she held my hand. And then I thought, this is very inappropriate as well. And then Linka was not crying
at all,
not at all, and she was laughing. And then because I was crying, Linka's boyfriend started crying. And then I was thinking, would he find it inappropriate that she is not crying? It's so funny in how there is a way to behave even in these situations. And even then, we are not free. There is a social construction that you can choose to follow or you can choose not to follow, but she is very present. Like, for example, when Linka's dad died and I started dancing, and I heard later that also people found it inappropriate. But these were people that were not even Thijs' best friends. But I thought it's really funny how this works. This, how other people tell you how you should mourn.
Mm-hmm.
But I even cried like with my other father-in-law died. And I didn't know him so well. And then I also thought, crying is not always such a deep end of the world feeling. You can also just cry very simple and in a very light way, that it's just sad.
No, I think you cannot put this cryings in a hierarchy, but I think you can map them, like, or mournings. Like, I think there is also a way to mourn when you cannot cry anymore.
Yeah, you can even cry for somebody at the funeral you don't know, because
it's universal.
It's universal, yeah.
And I didn't tell you, did I? When we were there, I thought, like, if I would ever need to find a stable job with income, I would like to work in something like crematorium.
Really?
Or actually, not even for money, no. I want to work in crematorium.
Why would you want to do that?
I found it so fascinating. It is a place where it is okay to be sad and be crying. Like, and it's okay if your makeup runs down your cheeks. While in any other occasion, people would just look in another direction. So this is a kind of heterotopy. Heterotopy, where this kind of feelings are on their place. And then it's also fascinating how, like, everybody tells very trivial things, like, he was a good man, this was his life, and this is what he did, or she. And he was my best friend, or he was my father, or she was my mother. And this is all very simple. And at the same time, every story is unique. And, like, how this triviality and uniqueness are intervened at that very moment.
It's also very cliche, eh? Because, for example, the man was telling that he never wanted to be in the spotlight. I'm sorry, he always wanted to be in the spotlight. And that man is not his best friend. It's not mm-hmm. because you drink a beer on the rooftop 20 years ago that suddenly he's your best friend. I hate that. That when somebody dies, only good things are told. And then everybody suddenly is the best friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with this. When he died, all these people you saw now where we had drinks with, they're okay. But he died, and then the next day they were all his best friends. And I was together with this for 2 years, never saw them. And then they organized his funeral. And also his friends, of course. But then those people said it was inappropriate for me to dance like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so weird how people are.
Exactly, but this is what I think also if you work there and you see this on a daily basis, and like when I was there, I was constantly thinking, okay, he's saying this, but how much true is that? And it's like, indeed, it's 100% cliche, but every time there is something touching. But if you work there and you see it on a daily basis, it's not touching anymore. And I'm curious how, like, the building up of cynicism happens.
Yeah, I wonder, because they have to pretend, the people who work there, that this is a very unique occasion. But maybe they do 3 of them a day or every day. And they have to stand there with a very serious face that they mourn with you, but for them it's just a 9-to-5 job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the funeral guy was coming the same day that my father-in-law died, so he died in the night, the police called at 8:00 in the morning, and at 1:00 the funeral guy was already there. So you just received the news and it comes very fast. And the guy, he comes in the house of my mother-in-law and he's almost crying. And I thought, like, how is this possible, you know? That, do you do this all the time? Like, with sad doggy eyes, talking slow, taking a lot of breaks.
And do they make jokes about it in the backstage?
Yeah. Or do they just grow into very sad people? Because if you're surrounded with that kind of thing on a daily basis, or do you grow numb or something? I don't know.
And the guy at the cemetery, he was like completely exception of the rules. The one that, the one who was busy with the flowers.
The working man that had to...
Yeah, it's also his job. I guess he only works in the cemetery and like his job is to bury people and unbury them or whatever.
What is the kruiwagen? What is the English word?
Car.
A car? No. It's a...
Like a garden car.
A garden car. I like his flashy pants, his working pants. Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah, and he wasn't mourning.
No, but this is what to make the situations even more real.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were many fake things, and except
mm-hmm.
Kobe, his speech, and then that guy that was there with the garden car, the worker, putting the cement on the grave. You know, did you see that with his spatula? He was...
There was cement already and he kind of evened it.
Yeah, he must have put it there earlier to be practical so that he wouldn't have had a lot of work at the service.
And also all these bags, you know, and buckets.
Yes. And the dirt, I wonder why there was so much dirt in this garden car.
And he didn't use it.
No.
I was thinking the dirt would be used to put around the grave, or like on the top of the grave.
Yeah, or I thought we could each have a piece and then throw it in the grave, but that was also not happening.
And then he just went away backwards.
Yes, with the garden car full of dirt.
That was very real.
It reminds me that there was a period in time before all the churches in Belgium had little houses that were stuck to it around the church. Do you know this?
I know that, for example, Sint-Niklaaskerk.
Yeah.
Or...
Yes, Sint-Niklaaskerk is a very good example. And then they thought, we should take those houses away because a church is something sacred. So then they stripped the church from the houses. All the houses were gone. And then they realized, in order to see something great, you have to put something there that is smaller, because then the greatness looks greater. And now that the houses are gone, the monumentality of the monument is gone as well. And that is what I feel at the funeral as well. If that guy is not there,
then what?
Because the mundane, so you see this a death as something that is not mundane, as something holy or something, you know, there's this ritualistic theme to it. But if you then put a guy there with a garden car, the two conflicting realities make it more special or something. Mm-hmm. But that was a really long turn to make my point.
I still need to process the comparison between the church and never mind.
Yeah, I don't think Linka is gonna cry anymore for him.
She said in the car, I wish I wanted to cry.
If I were that age, I think I also didn't cry for my grandmother.
My grandmother died when I was 7 or 8. So I don't remember crying either. And she was so sick, and she was in the same apartment. She just wouldn't. She would always lie on the same bed. I don't think she was capable of moving. And one day she wasn't there anymore. And that was it. Like, I think I quickly accepted that I won't see her.
But she was like a piece of furniture to you.
No, she was nice, and I think I barely remember anything. I only remember, sorry, funny, I only remember, how do you call it, tabouret?
Zo'n kruk?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like a chair.
Tabouret?
Tabouret.
I don't know. Let's hope it's that.
Like a piece of furniture that looks like a chair and doesn't have a back.
And it's higher.
Well, that one wasn't higher.
Oh, yeah.
And it was painted white. And the white paint would come off, and underneath it was black. This is my memory, and there was one toy, I guess, as a child, I don't know. But there was this one toy that I associate with my grandmother. It was also like 10 centimeters big, rubber, cat, whitish. And like, if you squeeze it, it would make a sound, like, and we would play hours and hours. But
you and your grandmother?
Yeah.
With that cat?
Yeah, and I guess I was sitting on that piece of furniture. I don't know, like, I only remember those two objects. I wouldn't even be able to reconstruct where her bed was, in which room she was lying.
Hmm.
Because they moved the furniture many times since then. And if you move the furniture, it looks like you live in a new apartment.